Tis daf tzadi vav. So we got to the bottom of tzadi hey and beis. The Gemara had been dealing with a contradiction whether or not you're able to kasher kli cheres or not. So the Gemara now offers another suggestion of Ibai Seima, three lines up from the bottom of tzadi hey and beis. That Ibai Seima betana shel cheres zeh hesigum mibefnim v'zeh hesigum mibechutz. Really, we're talking about a tanner kli cheres, and even an earthenware tanner is able to be kashered, as long as the heating up, the fire takes place bifnim. If the hesek of the burning is bifnim, so then it has the ability to kasher the kalim. But if it's taking place bechutz, if it's on the outside, normally when you have a kedera, you put the kedera, the cheres, into fire, so the fire is only on the outside, it's not able to kasher that which is on the inside. So that's when we say kli cheres doesn't work, when the heating is always on the outside. But when you put the fire inside, so you have a tanur made of kli cheres, and there's the fire inside, so when there's an inside, that does have the ability to kasher the kalim. So that's the deal, that's the difference between when we say you can kasher kli cheres and when you can kasher kli cheres. So then the Gemara says, so Navet, so that's the case, if we now know that kli cheres, the tanur shel kli cheres, that the kashering does work when the eish and the gechalim are bifnim, so Navet hasaka mi bifnim, so why not do hasaka bifnim when it comes to in the base of Migdash? Why not allow for that? And you don't need to break it, you just kasher them. Just instead of breaking the kli, said before, the reason why you use kli metechos, because then otherwise if you use kli cheres, you always have to break it. You don't have to break it, there's a way to around it. Kasher bifnim, put the fire inside the kli cheres of tanner, and then you could fix it. Where it says, chai salai dimitavre, there's a concern that if a person ends up putting the fire inside, not the tanner, rather this is in terms of the kederos. In terms of kederos, rather, we said you can't kasher kederos, we said break the kederos. What do you mean? Put the fire inside the kederos, and that's going to kasher the kederos. So it's a chashash that maybe if you put the fire inside, maybe it's going to break, and they won't put the fire in long enough to accomplish the needed libun, the heat, and they'll just do it a half job, half big job, in which case we don't rely on the kashering process, even though in theory it does work, we're concerned they're not going to leave it long enough, and therefore you say don't even attempt kashering it, you just have to break it. And Hilka, what?
That's a very good half-baked job.
And therefore, Hilka, the Gemara says, Haikuvya, his sikha mibuchutsu, the asr. So Rashi explains, what's Haikuvya mean? Kuvya is Rafim chalum kimin she pisas kedera. What's Rafim? Like made of mud or something, right? Did you find that?
It's a tile ring.
Tile ring?
Earthenware cylinder.
Your earthenware what?
Cylinder.
Okay, something made of something from the dirt and the mud. His sikha mibuchutsu, and therefore the way to use such an item is to do it on the outside, and therefore you can't kasher, it won't be kashered on the inside.
But this is all, we don't hold that, because we hold kli cheres you cannot kasher, right? This is according to Mandamara, because
no,
we hold that kli cheres you cannot.
No, in theory, no, we pass in theory that it can be kashered, but we don't trust it. No, we don't trust it because it can.
So this is basically the source of the halakha?
Yeah, this is it,
I feel that it absorbs so much that you cannot get it out.
Yeah, no, I believe we say that in theory it can.
Yeah.
But it makes no difference, Halacha Maisa. Halacha Maisa doesn't make any difference, because in the end of the day, we don't allow for Klei Cheres.
Yeah. But is this a sugya that basically tells us the reason why? I thought this is like, because are we concerned on every case, Chais Halayu, or only on the Kelim the Beis HaMikdash?
On all Kelim.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want my China to break.
Right.
So, okay. So then the Gemara says, Ela kederos shel mikdash, amayishver. So if it's really true that it has ability to, kli cheres has ability to be kashered, so why do we say break it? Isn't it nahadrinu la kivshonos, put into the big ovens, and then it'll be very, very hot, and then they speak it kasher. So the Gemara says, Amar b'zeira lefish einos in kivshonos b'yishalayim. We don't make kivshonos b'yishalayim. Why not? Says Rashi, two narrow lines down, Einos and kivshonos b'yishalayim. Mishum kutcher, because the smoke, it has all the smoke, and it ruins the walls, and makes everything black. Therefore, there are no kivshonos. You don't have these big, large ovens that have the ability to kasher them. There is a discussion in the poskim halacha l'maisa, whether or not you allow for this kivshonos b'yishalayim. Some say, no, you don't allow even b'zman hazeh, because this kedushas b'yishalayim still exists. Others say, no, it's only true when there's a Beis HaMikdash. If there's no Beis HaMikdash anymore, it's no problem at all. And in fact, we actually want there to be kivshonos. We would like the walls to get black in your homes in order to people feel the tsar and the velus of Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, some say, dafki, you should have kivshonos. But certainly in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't allow for this kivshonos because the smoke would ruin the walls. So there was no way of practically having these kideros placed in the oven to have them kashered. So Amar Abaye says, wait a second. So v'chi osin ashpatas bazara. So fine, we don't allow the smoke. But now what's happening is every kedera that comes in there, you break. Every kli charis you just smash, and now there's going to be a whole dumping ground in the base of Mikdash, all these broken pieces of the kedera. So we make it into an ashpa, into a garbage dump, that's better than having the walls become black. So Gemara says, Ishtamitza hadatani, you forgot a din, a braisa, shema b'kal navo. Rashi says kal navo is the shame of a makum shenikra shame of odos kochavim, which itself is interesting, because normally we don't use the names of Avodah Zarah. We're not supposed to say the names of Avodah Zarah. I don't know if anyone asks this question. Just looking on the bottom just for a second here. No one asks the question. But here, you get quote Chavis Yair, if you're allowed to Mutta Likros B'Shemos Avodah Zkochavim. There's a din there, so you're not allowed to mention the names of Avodah Zarah, these places. Not according to everyone. No. Ramban says it's based in Bavli. Nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, I don't think. Can you tell me the English ones?
No, some of the names.
Yeah? Certainly not a P Kabbalah, that's not the case. There's a lot of depth to all the names. Either way, you're not supposed to, it's a derisa to mention the name of Avodah Zarah. And call places based on this, so that's not the concern here. So this person, Shemaya Bekal Navo, that's where he was. He says, it's a Gemara in Yuma as well, that one of the nisim of the Beis HaMikdash was the Shivrei Klei Cheres Nivlam Bimkomam, that the pieces of earthenware that were shattered, they were absorbed in the ground, and therefore it wasn't an ashba, it wasn't a dumping ground. Whenever they broke it, the ground mamash just swallowed up, and that was one of the nisim.
I assume it's
mamash
first, but that means, right?
What?
Both Beis HaMikdash or the first they weren't nisim gluim, right, on the second Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah, so this only answers one, why not two, I'm not sure. They quote here the reason for this, by the way, I'm not sure why they need a reason, but they quote Rabbeinu Yochum, who's the one of the Yerushalmi, the Yuma, that he says the reason why such an ace existed is in order that the Kohanim shouldn't get cut. They would walk around barefoot. Now, if there are pieces of glass or earthenware that could be very sharp, that was the purpose of it. But really, the Pashup shot from the Gemara here, the purpose is so it wouldn't be an ashpa, so it shouldn't be a dumping ground. That's why they absorbed it.
So what kelim were cheres in the Beis HaMikdash?
No idea.
I was just talking, meaning the main kelim were either nefoshes or right, where they were nefoshes.
Right. You could not make a cliché of a klicharis. It couldn't be an actual klicharis.
Right.
But let's say you brought in something to, I don't know for what purpose, so it would be there.
So, you can only not take
that from the meaning. Something. So
if you bring into the Beis HaMikdash, let's say, I don't know what you can bring. Let's say you bring flour inside.
Okay.
For a menah. Does that mean that you weren't mekadosh it yet? You just bring it. Does that mean that clear already? It has a kedusha and you can't.
No, you have to mekadosh. Remember, this case is talking about a situation where you place some of the basar into the klicheres and absorb the kadshim.
Right, but the basar was already.
It was very kadosh. This is not a klicheres where it's able to make something
right.
Kadosh, but you can put something kadosh inside of a klicheres. So you cooked it wherever you cooked it, and you are giving out plates of klicharis to China with cut pieces of meat. So that's
right.
The case. But it can't be a klicharis from klicharis.
No, right. Okay.
So then the Gemara says, Elahad amar Rav Nachman amar Abba Barvua tanur shel mikdash shel matechas hava. So now we said above that the ovens that were used in the base of mikdash were made of metal. Navid decharis, desikim mifnim. We have another way. Why not make them of earthenware? And since the burning takes place from inside, it has the ability to machshir. You can kasher kelim if it's klicheres, if the fire is on the inside. So Gemara says, you're right. From the terms of hagalas kelim, hachsharas kelim, you're allowed to kasher klicheres if it's bifnim. But kevin diikas shtei halechem, lechem apanim, daf yasin betanur, v'kdushasin betanur havilei klicheres, v'klicheres, decheres la'avdinam. What's happening here? So in terms of the oven of the Beis HaMikdash were made to bake shtei lechem for the karbon on Shavuos. It was made to make lechem upon him each and every single week for Shabbos. So now, since that baking took place in the tanur itself, that means the tanur was mekadesh, the shtei lechem. It made it into something in Kedusha, it made the lechem upon him into Kedusha. If it's making something kadosh, that means it's serving as a klisharis. And the halacha is a klisharis could only come from, cannot be made from a klicharis, only from a matechas, only from metal. And that's why. it can be klicharis. Nothing to do with hagalos kelim. Hacharis kelim can be klicharis. It's simply because it can't be made from a klicharis, cannot come from earthenware.
Klicharis was used to cook the chattas, it says.
Used to cook the chattas. But
oh,
it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean,
And the pasuk says, you know, klicharis yashe yuvusha bo or something.
So that's the reason. So let's say if the chattas was tamed, they had to break it. No or no? What happened? No.
No, after, no, anything that gets absorbed, you have to break it. That's a mitzvah.
But you were able to reuse it there, or no?
Well, no, you couldn't reuse it. You broke it. No, the way it worked was you had the chattas. So now, as Adam's telling us, based on the pasuk, it says klicharis hashet tivu shalbo yishaver. The klicharis is used to cook it. So you put it, you know, you put basar into the klicharis, you put it over fire, and you were busy cooking it, you're baking it, whatever, you're roasting it. So that absorbs now the tam of the chattas.
But
so
you
now,
can reuse it as long as you keep on reusing it for something. Color.
No, you have to break it. The din is because anything that becomes nosar that's left inside there.
Right, that was the whole basis.
So then that's you had to break it. But the klinei choshes, you could kasher by Marika Vishtifa, and you could reuse
that's
the
klinei. So every time somebody brought a chattas, they used it was a...
No, if they just chose to use a klinei choshes, they could also use the klinei choshes if they want. Klinei choshes you could reuse.
That's having made the disposable plate.
Right, I guess, but yeah, klinei choshes wasn't expensive. You just get some mud and put water, and then just took some time maybe. But, okay. So then...
Rabbi says that you burn it from the inside, and therefore what?
It could kasher it then. That way you could kasher klicharis. If it's on the inside.
Because you're not going to worry about it, you're going to break it, then it's going
to
break it.
Because it has the ability, since that nature, the tanner is meant to use it all the time to do the fire inside. So you know it has the ability to withstand that, so you're not concerned it will break, exactly.
The reason why it can't is because it's a
klicharis. You need klicharis. Klicharis is not. So then the Gemara says, "And Tadi Vavamid Beis Vafilu Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Lo Kamar Ela De'et." And even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who is Mekel, who says you don't have to only make a klisharis from a mataches, he says even from other items, he's only Mekel with respect to eight. So the eight could also be klisharis. Aval Decheres Lo, he doesn't allow you to make a klisharis out of cheres, and therefore that's why the tanner is not made from klisharis. Okay, the Gemara now says two lines down on Beis here. A very interesting story now. Rav Yitzchak bar Yehuda have a ragil kamei d'rami bar chama. We haven't had any agata, I don't think, here. Very little. This is not even a agata. This is just really a hakdama to a halachic discussion, but it's a very fascinating one. Rav Yitzchak bar Yehuda have a ragil kamei d'rami bar chama and shavke. So Rav Yitzchak was a very a loyal Talmud to Rami bar chama, and one day decided to leave him for also the Rav Shesh, to learn by Rav Sheshes. So Yom Echad, one day, Pagabei, one time they met. Rabbi Yitzchak met his old Rabbi Rami Bar Chama. Amarlei, Akafta, Nakhtan Recha, Asa La Liad, Mishim Da Azlach Le Kamid Rav Sheshes Havilacha. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, Akafta, Nakhtan Recha, Asa La Liad, Mishim Da Azlach Le Kamid Rav Sheshes Da Havilach Ki Rav Sheshes, Mashalhu. Agase Ruach, Shemishtalin lahamor b'makom gedolim. Baal Gaiva wants to stand among the prestigious people. He went to Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was a prestigious individual. He was close to Reish Kalusa, I believe. He wanted to stand amongst the great people that be in politics. And v'amar haduches achzani biyadi. I think it's a type of bird, maybe grabbed onto my hand. V'reach hamlucha nikla l'toch yadi. And then by holding on to such a animal, you were
duke.
Able to. What is it?
It's a duke.
Is that a duke? Oh, a duke. Okay. So a duke, so you hold on to the duchess, a duke, to get some smell of the malchus. You only went to Rav Sheshes because you wanted to become your Baal Gaiva. That's in essence what the insulted Rebbe told Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda. Amalei, la mishim hachi, not because of this, that mar that I went left you, rather, when I used to ask you a question, you told me svara, very nice. But then I would find a brisa and that would go against your svara. Rav Sheshes, on the other hand, when I asked him a shayla, he would bring a brisa to prove it. And the chinami mishkachin masnisa, when I find the brisa that goes against his brisa, uparcha, ask a question, masnisa, both are masnisim, and I can't, his brisa versus my brisa. But if you give me just a svara, and there's no proof in the text for it, so I don't like your answers. I want to hear a text, brises to support everything. And now if you just look at Rashi, Rashi comments, if you're on eight narrow lines down or so, Pasha mimasnisa, shemishnayos seduros b'fiv. Rav Sheshes knew them all ba'peh, all mishnayos, all brises, all toseftas. Kedamrim be'erivin Rav Chista Mirachshin Sifsoseh Mimasnis the Rav Sheshes. The Gemara in Erivin talks about how great both of them were, and I think they have a debate of how they would never let the what would happen if the Klai Yisrael forgot all of Torah. So Rav Chista says, my Svara, so I'm so sharp, I could bring everything back from Svara. Rav Sheshes says, even better, I know everything by heart, I'll never let that happen. I mean, I know all Brises, it will never come to that point. So it says Rav Chista was very intimidated when he spoke in front of Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes could pull out any Brise of Mishnah from anywhere. And I think it says in turn Rav Sheshes was scared of Rav Chista, because Rav Chista was so sharp. So some people have great minds and the sharpness, and some people have and tremendous memories. So we see Rav Sheshes had a tremendous memory, and he always answered with Brises, so that's why Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda went to learn by Rav Sheshes instead. So Amar Lei, so Rami Bar Chama put himself to the test and said, "Bai minai milsa difshitilcha kimas nisa. Ask me something, I'll give you an answer for the Brisa. I also know Brisa. I just wasn't telling you the Brisa. I was just telling you logic because it's, I don't know, people like to hear Svaras. But I'll tell you Brisa. Ask me a question, you'll see. And then come back and learn by me." So Bai minai, so he asked him the following question related to our sugya. Bishal b'miktas kli ton merika v'shifa o ein ton. Let's say you have a kli nechoshes and you're cooking in just one part of that pot. It's a huge pot. And then just one part of the pot you're cooking in. Do you need to do merika shtifa on the entire pot or just that makom where you cooked? So Amar Lei, so it says back Rami Bar Chama, you don't need the entire pot. Just that makom where you did the bishal. Why? Midi dahava haza, no different than haza. Now remember, he's not quoting a brisa here. He's just quoting a svara. What do you mean, midi ha'aza? So it says Rashi, dam chata shenites al beged, ditzam b'masnis in ein ton p'kibos el makom hadam. When the blood falls from the chatas onto the beged, we said you only need to kasher, to clean, to do kibos on that particular area. You don't need to launder the entire beged. So too, when it comes to the cleaner choshes, you only need to kasher that particular area where you cook. So he asks back to the Talmud of Yitzchak, says, "V'halo tani hachi, you told me you're going to bring a brisa. That's not a brisa, that's a svara." Amalei, mistavra. He says, "Ah, it's still logical. Kebeged, it must be similar to kebeged. Ma beged einotan kibos elamakum hadam, af kli einotan marika v'shifa elamakum bishos." He still doesn't bring a brisa. He just says it's a svara. That it would seem that the halacha should be the same as a beged. So Amalei, so now he starts winding up. And Rav Yitzchak brings a brisa against this. Amalei mi dami. Firstly, in terms of svara, this makes sense. Dam lo mifafeya, bishol mifafeya. It spreads out. When blood goes on the beged, it doesn't spread out to the entire beged. There's no heat to allow it to spread. When something cooks, cham miktasa, cham kula, we say, once a little bit gets heat, the tam penetrates the entire pot. And therefore, it's a difference. The misvara, I could distinguish between dam and bishol. That's number one. And mitzad the tanya, but oh, tanya, there's a brisa that goes clearly against what you're saying. Chomer b'haza, mi merika v'shifa, v'chomer b'merika v'shifa, mi b'haza. There's certain ways in which haza, the sprinkling of the blood, is more stringent than the merika v'shifa, and there's certain ways that merika v'shifa are more stringent than that of the haza, the sprinkling of the blood. How so? So the Gemara says, chomer b'haza, where do we find that? It's more chomer that b'haza, that shaza yeshin b'chatal sachitonos, that the blood is shayach to karbanos of chatos that are inside, those that are outside, it is even shayach even before the zrika. We only apply merika v'shtifa to only a chatos chitonos and only achar zrika.
So it's just chomer ahadah, it
means chomer akibus, right? Chomer akibus, exactly. And chomer b'merika v'shtifa, what are the stringencies of merika v'shtifa? Shemerika v'shtifa noheges bein b'kachim bein b'kachim kalim. It applies to all types of karbanos. Bishul b'miktas akli ta'on merika v'shtifa kol akli. So here we see a mefurish tosefta that you require merika v'shtifa on the entire kli, even though only part of it was used to cook. Ma'ashen kein baza. So there we see. So what is his response back? What does Rami Bar Chama say? Amrele itanya tanya. If it's a brisa, it's a brisa. And he agrees. He doesn't say that he acknowledges his leaving of his Talmud to Rav Sheshes, but that in essence seems to be what's going on here. So Gemara wants to know, in the end of the day, after establishing that Merika v'shtifa shayach on the entire kli, even though miktas was used, the Gemara wants to know, but time am I? What's the basis? What's the reason? So you have in the first brisa that's the halacha. You need to do the entire kli, but why? Amrkar the Pasuk says, v'michina choshes bushla v'afilu b'miktas hakli. The Medayik from the Pasuk here, it says that the bushalam, that even if it was cooked, Even it said it was cooked, it was used. It doesn't say that it was cooked with the entire kli. As long as bushal, as long as some cooking took place in the kli nechoshes, you require doing morak v'shot of b'mayim, the entire kli nechoshes. Okay, Gemara now asks. So I look at Tosis for a second. Just interesting how to understand the question that was posed by Rav Yitzchak to Rami Bar Chama. Tosis writes, "Bishu miktas kli taon marika v'shifa ko kli o einotan." That was the shaila we had. Tema. My kimibayle, what exactly is the suffix in the first place? My sagadaitach to Rav Yitzchak, what was his thought process? Ikish miktas kli ala ish shemivashabo cham vishar kli tzonein kimibayle. Was he asking if part of the pot got hot and the rest stays cold? Was that a shaila? Does that really happen? Imkain, my kamar bishul mifafea halo mifafea bechulik kli. If it's talking about a case where only that part got hot, nothing else got hot, so then he can't apply the svara of by Marika Vashifa, the bishul spreads. I mean, the only way you could assume that the mifafeya is if the entire pot got hot. So it has to be a case where the entire pot got hot. The bishakol klicham now, but we're saying that the entire pot got hot, pshita, the mifafeya bechul, then it's obvious that any tam that gets cooked will spread throughout the entire pot. What exactly is the shaila? Ubar Marika Vashifa. So he doesn't know what the shaila is. Vikamibayle, imifafeya bechule kli olo, if the shaila is it going to spread or not spread? Meaning, even though the heat will spread to the entire pot, will the tam necessarily spread out? Imkain bishar yisurim nami mitibayle. This should be a shaila not only by Marika Vashifa in the base of Migdash, this should be a shaila by Vasa V'chalav. It should be a shaila. If you cook treif in a part of the pot, do you say that treif spreads itself through the entire pot? That's a shaila that's relevant everywhere. So why is it something that's unique, dafka to hear? So he doesn't know what the answer is. So the Sfas Emes explains that no. The idea of mifafeya, that the tam spreads throughout, that's something that we accept, but it's a tam kolish. It's a very weak tam that spreads throughout. So it's understood that in general, it may not be the case. But dafka by the kudshim, where we're more stringent by kudshim, maybe there we do say it's mifafeya. Something along those lines, but still unclear exactly what is the understand. What's the suffix here in the very question?
If it's not for
kachim, we assume that you have to do cham miktas or cham kula. You have to kasha the whole thing, exactly. Okay, the Gemara now says the first wide line at the end of the line, echad kachi kachim, and so on. So the Mishnah had said, kam salacha of marika v'shtifa, that applies to all types of karbanos, and there was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon who said that it only applies to kachim kalim, rather only to kachi kachim, but does not apply to kachim column. So that's a machlokas. Does again Mariko Shifa apply also to Kudshim column? So Tanur Ban the Brisa says Chatas, the Pasuk says Daber El Aaron Vilbanov Lemor, Zos Tarasa Chatas, I'm reading the side, Bamakumasha Tishahe Ola Tishahe Chatas Lifne Hashem, Kodesh Kadoshim. That's the Pasuk says. And this is in the context of, it goes on to say in the Pesukim later on, Marika V'shtifa. So in that context, it says the word Chatas. Ein li al-chatas. I only know that a Chatas requires a Marika V'shtifa. What about Kolach Kachim Minayin? How do I know to include all other types of Karbanos? Tam Lomar, it says in a different Pasuk, in the same Parsha though, it says, Kodesh Kadoshim Hi, including all other types of Kachim. Yachol Shani Marbet HaChuma, maybe Chuma as well should be included. That's also a certain level of Kodesh. The Pasuk calls it Kodesh sometimes. Tamalomar Osa. It says, Kol Zachar B'Kohanim Yochal Osa Kachi Kachim. Osa is limiting. Osa is Prat L'Chuma. Divri Rabbi Huda. So according to Rabbi Huda, Kachim Kalim, Kachim Kachim are all included in Marika V'Shtifa. Chuma is excluded. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Kachim kachim tunim marika v'shifa, kachim kalim einim tunim marika v'shifa. Like he said in the Mishnah. Why? Dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk clearly, Kodesh kadashim tunim, Kodesh kadashim in, kachim kalim lo. And the Pasuk clearly says only Kodesh kadashim requires marika v'shifa. So then the Gemara wants to know, my time, the Rabbi Yehuda. So why Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning? So the Gemara says, midi itzirich osol mute truma. So the fact that also excludes Shuma indicates that something else is included, namely Kachim Kalam, which is right in between Kachim Kachim and Shuma. Rabbi Shimon Omer Lecha Osa Kedamran, the Shuma Lo Bai Shtifa Marika Kedamran. So he says, Kedamran, like we said above, that what? Rashi explains here, Osa Kedamran, Osa Ksheir of Lo Psula. Only something that's kosher requires mikvah shifa. But something that is possible, we saw in the Tzadi Gimel, Rashi quotes, does not require mikvah shifa. That's what's being excluded from the word osa. But to tell me truma and kajim kalam, that's obvious that those do not require mikvah shifa, since the pasuk already says only kodesh kadosh requires mikvah shifa. Anything less than that doesn't require. So osa is coming to exclude psulim from mikvah shifa. Asks the Gemara. But Chuma, Labai Shtifa Marika, Chuma doesn't require Marika Shtifa. Doesn't it say, Vatani, the Brahisa teaches us that Kadera should bishop babasar, Levasha bachala. We know that if you have a fleshic pot, you shouldn't cook meat in it, or milk in it rather. Vin bishal, but no Saint Tom. If you cook in it, so then the status ends up depending on whether there's no Saint Tom in the into the food. So let's say it's a case of chuma. Chuma loivasha bachulin. If you have a pot used for chuma, you shouldn't cook chulin in it. Then bishul b'no sentam. If you do cook it, so if there's no sentam of a chuma into the chulin, so then only a kohen is allowed to eat it. So we see from all this that what? Rashi explains, im bishul b'no sentam, nesarn ha-chulin lizarim. So the chulin can't be eaten by a zar now because there's some tam of chuma in there. Alma bai hagala liflot iser hanivla bechli shel yaser. So how do you use that same pot? Now we have to think back then when they didn't have so many pots available to them. So they use a pot for chuma, so you'd have to kasher now to be able to use it for chulin. So it is something that's kasherable. So right now the Gemara assumes Marika v'shtifa is something that's the same din of hagal's kalim for us. So we see Marika v'shtifa does work for chuma. So the Gemara says, Amar bai says, Lo tzrich ela the damar mar bishu miktas kli tan mikav shifa kol kli hachuma lo tzarich ela makom bishu. Now of course a galus kelim works for chuma. The question is that chiv of mikav shifa we said above that when you do mikav shifa, if you do bishul kachim and miktas, you need to do mikav shifa on the kol kli chuma. You only have to do mikav shifa on that particular area that was cooked with the chuma, but you don't have to do mikav shifa on the entire kli. That's a difference. But in Echanami, Hagalas Kalim certainly does work by Chuma. Now, just interesting, just as a side point, I'm just thinking right now that it's Masha from this Gemara here that they would use the same Kli of Chuma as Chul and they just Kasha in between. That's what Rashi seems to indicate. So there is a, the Svarim don't hold like this, but Ashkenazim hold this. It's a brought down by, I think, Chassam Sofer, it's the Minug, that we don't allow us to ourselves to Kasha from Milchuk to Fleishiks. You can't. Fleishiks, even though it's completely mutter, and kashering is simply a very simple thing to do. You can't switch back and forth of fleishiks kasher and milchiks kasher. You're not allowed to do that. You can't switch. The only time you're allowed to switch from meat or fleishiks to milchiks or vice versa is Pesach. Let's say you're kashering for Pesach. You're kashering for chametz purposes, so now it becomes neutral. Then you're allowed to switch it to the opposite if you want. Or let's say it became treif, and now you have to kasher. So once you're kashering it, you're allowed to switch from fleishiks to milchiks or vice versa. But just the kasher, in order to simply switch it, that's something that we don't practice. Now, it does come up oftentimes, someone will go move into a new house, and they were a kosher family, but they wanted to switch sinks to use. So that's something that we usually rely on. Let them, since it's just a one-time thing, they're moving to a house, we say you can kasher the sinks to switch from fleishiks to milchiks. Others will say, first you should treif it up, pour something treif down it in such a way, now that's treif, you have to kasher it, and then once you kasher it, you'll have to switch it over. Okay, Gemara now says, Rav Amar, Rav is a different explanation as to, even though we said above, Chuma is not subject to Shtifa Marika, Marika Shtifa, and here we are saying it is subject to Marika Vashifa. Rav says, Lo tzich ela damar mar, b'mayim v'lo b'yayin, b'mayim v'lo b'mozug. So the pasuk describes when Marika v'shtifa is taking place. It says the imbichli nechoshes bushala morik v'shutaf b'mayim. So the Gemara's medayik, only water works, but you can't use wine. Only water works and not diluted wine. If you want to do Marika v'shtifa in the base of Mikdash, you must use mayim. But ha, when it comes to chuma, afilu b'yayin, afilu b'mazug, you could do the hagalas kalim of a chuma, even using wine, even using diluted wine. I don't think we pasuk in this way. I think we have to use water, but I didn't look into it.
So this is because shtifa merika on all the others, you have to do it inside the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Hazara.
Correct.
This is a whole different inyan because this, you can do it at home also, right?
I mean, yeah.
There is no reason.
So yes, it seems like the question here is not location. Location-wise, that would certainly be a difference.
So it would be a whole different process, the fact that it doesn't have to be.
Exactly, the process is different. Well, the details, at least, are different. And there's a third distinction, says the Gemara, and that is the opinion of Rabba now. Rabba bar ula amar, lo tzich elo ledamar mar, mrika v'shifa b'tzonen ha'afilu b'chamin. So the mrika v'shifa, there's a, Rashi says here that, that you, when it came to the Mikvah Shifa in the Beis Hamikdash, that you have to use cold water and you couldn't use hot water. When it comes to Chuma, however, you're allowed to even use hot water. Now that sounds counterintuitive. Hot usually takes everything out, so I'm not sure the reason for that, but cold water was used in the Beis Hamikdash, and hot water can be used even for Chuma. The hot water is really easy. That's the way it comes out. Kibolo kachpolto. It sounds like only hot water should work, but either way, that's what the Gemara says. But then the Gemara says, Hanich l'mandam mikvah shifa b'tzoni. That's only true, this distinction, if you assume that the mikvah shifa in the Beis HaMikdash was using cold water. L'mandam mikvah chamin v'shifa b'tzoni. The one who felt that mikvah in the Beis HaMikdash was hot water, boiling water. And then you did a shifa afterwards of cold water. Ma'ik l'meimar, what's the difference between Shuma and Kachim? Ik l'meimar, shtifa yiseirasa. So Rashi explains his shtifa yiseirasa is that b'tzonein, ika b'kachim, basim rika, tim hagalas chamim, b'tshuma l'bay shtifa tzonein. In other words, that the way it worked in the Beis HaMikdash was first you put boiling water in, like hagalas kalim, and then afterwards you poured cold water in. When it comes to the Shuma, all you have to do is the boiling water, and you don't have to pour cold water afterwards. Halacha ma'aseh, just to make sure it's clear though, we paskin, after doing hagalas kalim, you are supposed to pour it under cold water. So let's say, for example, you're kashering a spoon. So you boil up a big pot of water, you drop the spoon in, you take it out, you're supposed to run it under cold water immediately. The reason for that is because hagalas kalim, once you have, let's say, it's treif. So now it's hot water, pulls the treif out. So now the water has treif in it, to go right back in. So in order to avoid that, you put it right in the cold water to cool down, because if there's no heat, hot water, it can't get reabsorbed into the spoon. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day, and we'll continue tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem.